Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good. And God all the time. God is good. Yeah, I threw you on that one a little bit. I do apologize for that. But the thing I won't throw you on is the reason that we are here. We are here because God calls the church to love God, love others, and go. Can I get an amen? And in that, we do every week move forward into that thought. Because that is all that we are. And when we realize those three simple rules, those three simple things are a lifetime of love and commitment, wow, can that truly change who we are? That's the transformative work of God. Because when we love Him, we come to the place of loving others, and we know and believe and hold to the fact that we must go with that word of Christ into the world. And if you have to speak, do so. But show it through who you are. Can I get an amen, church? And that is an amen. Well, today we're going to continue on in our sermon series here through Lent. Seven things we must let go of. And as I said last week, none of us like to hear that we must do something. But God. God knows what we need. And how many of us know everything we need? We have an idea in our minds, don't we? We all have an idea of what we would like to see, what we would like to accomplish, okay? What is that called? It's called expectation. And therefore, the second installment, once we realize that we have to give up control to God, what is the first thing that has to fall under giving God control? Our expectations. Many of us are like, whoa, now wait a minute, I don't want to give up my expectations because I want to be this and I want to be that and I want to do this and I want to do that. Who is God of that statement? I. And that is not what God wants, because God sees that that leads to evil. When you make yourself God, your expectations make you God. And you may not like to hear that, but I have to hear that, okay? Please remember, far before I can preach any word, I have to come under it myself. And you all know, standing up front here, how many men that stand up front or women that stand up front and preach have fallen over the years. Think about that. Think about that. When you do not submit yourself, how can you speak this word to anyone? You don't have the right to do so. So I don't come in my own right because I have to come under this word. I come in the authority of the word of God, who is the authority unto all of us. Can I get an amen? And that authority is given to us from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. And we do not have the right to change it because our expectations want something else. We have to submit our expectations to God. So if we are to live life abundantly, we have to let go of our expectations. Turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Genesis. Again, these things come to us from the beginning. Genesis chapter 12. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 12. And we're going to be speaking of the man to whom, after Adam, God gave to him the promises and called him out and made a peoples unto himself. And in the beginning, his name was Abram. It was not Abraham, it was Abram, because he was separated from God, just as all men were. It was after God called him to himself and he submitted to God that God changed his name to Abraham. Because again, once something is submitted to you, now you have the authority to change its name. You have authority over it. So God, once again, just as he named Adam, he named Abraham. Meaning that Abraham came under his hand. So too must we in all that we become. From verse 1 through 10 in chapter 12, let us read the word of our Lord. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. So Abraham went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot his nephew, and all their possessions which they had accumulated, and the persons which they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan. Thus they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land as far as the site of Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. Now the Canaanite was then in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. Then he proceeded from there to the mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Abram journeyed on, continuing toward the Negev. Now there was a famine in the land, so Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. Blessed be the word of our Lord. When I think about Abraham and verse 1 there, Abraham listened to God's call. Abraham, do you think he had a life in Haran? Do you think he had a life there? Did he have expectations? Did he have wants, desires, things he wanted to accomplish? And then the Lord spoke to him and he uprooted himself. How many of us are ready to uproot yourselves when the Lord tells you to do something? It amazes me because all of us have our expectations and we would literally say to ourselves, and I know I'm talking to Christians right now and you're all going to be in disagreement with me, but the reality is that's not true. Because each of us wants what we want and we want it now. Am I speaking incorrectly? Deep down inside, there's a word in the book of Proverbs that says there is a way unto man that seemeth good, but in the end it leads to death. We need to understand, do you have any idea how much of the scripture from Genesis to Revelation deals with expectations, our expectations? It is so amazing because if God does not have control, our expectations go before God. And that's called idolatry. And God cannot have anything before him, for he is God. And when we understand that we put our expectations, and your expectations may be small. Your expectation may be going to lunch today at Heisey's Diner. How do you know God wants you to go to Heisey's Diner? Some of you are snarking right now, like, well, does he really care? I don't know. You don't know what's going to happen when you walk out that door. None of us do. That's my point. Abraham heard God, and he took everything he had and moved. I can remember being there. Tell you a story. You know, Pastor likes to tell stories, right? In 1996, my wife came to me and she said, "You're not going into ministry, are you?" She's mimicking me right now. You didn't see that on camera. I said, "No, honey, no." Six months later, 1997, I came to my wife and I said, "Sweetheart, I believe God's calling me into ministry, and the only way we're going to go into ministry is if we sell the farm." We had a 12-acre farm. We had built a good life together, didn't we? So we thought. I didn't realize how much I had put on this lady. 12-acre farm. We had a 3-acre yard. Guess who mowed it? Yeah. Guess who took care of me? And that was a big job back then because I wasn't a Christian. And she stuck around. And now I'm asking her to uproot and go. Well, what did she do? She did the very thing every sane woman would do. She went to mom and dad and sisters and brothers. It's a big family. I'm one person. They can beat me up. And her sister told her, don't worry, it's a fad. Well, that's 30 years ago. Needless to say, I don't think they believe it's a fad anymore. Because God changed my heart. But you see, God also had to change her heart. Because the two are one. And when God's truly in it, God moves all of us. He doesn't move one of you to the detriment of the other. In fact, what I didn't realize was he was finally making the husband that my wife deserved. And now I stand before you a man who's not ashamed to admit I was a butt to my wife. And I say that openly. Because I was a man with my own expectations. Hers didn't matter. Now, the first person I check with before we do anything other than the Lord is this lady. Because if she's not in alignment, we don't go. It's not what I want anymore. It can't be what I want. What I want drove us to the point, however she stayed with me for those first 11 years, I don't know. Next year, we hit 40. And I have to say the last 30 have probably been better than the first 11, wouldn't you agree? And the first years are supposed to be your best ones. I want you to understand what happened here with Abraham. Were the first years his best ones? They really weren't. I just read to you that, you know, he went down into the land and he just kept, you know, he was in the land and he just kept going. Why? Because it wasn't for him to settle there. And all of a sudden there's famine in the land and he goes into Egypt. Do you think he wanted to be in Egypt? He left Haran, which is up around Iran right now. Okay? He left there and traveled well over 1,000 miles on foot. With all his people, all his possessions, all his belongings. Now, wait a minute, God. You told me, what does he say in verse 2, 3, and 4? You told me that you're going to bless me and you're going to make me into this great people and you know, all the world's going to be blessed by me. How is this a good thing? I'm going down. It's a famine now. If I'd have stayed home, I'd be with my family. I'd have every comfort. Now I'm living in tents and I got to do all this stuff. How many of us find ourselves in that? In the middle of our planning, we find ourselves in stuff that we didn't plan for. But if we follow God, he's got the provision for us right there in his hands. And we don't have to worry about what tomorrow is going to bring because we know who holds tomorrow. I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm telling on myself, I knew I was going to with this sermon. There were days when we were walking, my wife earned $14,000 a year. We lived on that, a family of three. We lived on $14,000. Yes, we were in poverty. But were we in poverty, sweetie? No. God provided a house for us. God provided needs for us. Bills were paid. We would sit there and say, how are we going to pay this bill? And money would come in the mail. You think I'm joking? I'm not. We had no idea how we were going to do what we were going to do for 5 years. And then we moved to Lebanon because God said, I want you to go. You see, you all don't understand this. I had the opportunity to take a 300-member church in York County or come to Lebanon County to a 46-member church. Why did I end up in Lebanon? Because that's where God directed me. He told me, I'm going to send you to my people who are praying. Wait a minute. I had two churches to choose from. Aren't they all Christians? Shouldn't they be praying? Don't all Christians pray? They probably do, but how many of us pray for the right things all the time? How many of us pray for our expectations? Do you get my point here? And it was so amazing to me because when I spoke to the people, they answered the question. And I understood what God was talking about when he talks about his expectations. The other church that I could have gone to said, oh, we're not worried about that small church. We know we're paying you more than them. The other church said, We are praying that the Lord leads you here. Who was praying? And who was praying on their expectations? We went to the smaller church, and I'm here today, still in Lebanon. Am I supposed to be here? Yeah. Yeah, I am. Where are you? Are you where you're supposed to be? How many of you can answer that question with a 100% certainty? If you're in Christ, I got a gentleman back here shaking his head, and I know he's where he's supposed to be. And I'm telling you right now, when you think about where you are, how many of you struggle where you are? We all struggle where we are. God does not say there's not going to be any struggling. You know, we all look at the flowers of the field and we think, oh, if I could just be like that, they have no care in the world. Wait a minute. Do you understand they have to push out of the ground up into the sunlight? And then they're out there in that weather all the time, rain, snow, wind, sleet, hail, whatever's coming at them. And how many of us are out there mowing those dandelions off that have pushed so hard to get out of the ground? And then we come around with the weed eater, and then we go get the poison and we spray that on there. And then we get that little diggy thing, you know, with the little V on it, and we pop the root out, and we're like, we're going to get you. But yet that dandelion persists. Believe me, there's nothing in this world that has it easy, because the curse is real. And when we all understand, if we put our expectations out there, we're going to miss what God has for us. Because as a beekeeper now, I understand the importance of those dandelions. And when mine come up, and then they turn into those white puffy things that blow everywhere, I encourage them, go far, my little ones, go far. Because my bees need that pollen and they need that nectar and it makes honey. We need all the things of life. And some of those things of life are the dandelions that we all want to dig out, aren't they? But God says, let them alone. They have a purpose. And I'll show it to you. There is a way that seemeth good unto man, but in the end it leads to death. When we understand where Abraham was and the choices that he had to make, he was leaving Lot's. But I want you to look at, and I want you to read it. I'm not going to read it. I want you to read all the way down through 3 and 17 this evening. Okay? Because he ends up going down into Egypt, and he's there for a period of time. And we see him getting into a little bit of trouble down there with Pharaoh and his wife. Okay, because he doesn't tell them that his wife is his wife. And all of a sudden, what does it say? And the Egyptians gave him donkeys and camels and maidservants and men servants, and he became a wealthy man. You see, God uses the hard things of our lives to get us to the places where he wants us to be if we're yielded to him. But when we're in control, do you think any of those things would have happened if he'd have stayed in Haran? Absolutely not. But because he listened, because he obeyed God, yes, he had to go through some hardships. And we know his hardship doesn't end there. We know it gets to the very point where he's got a knife hovering over his only son, the son of promise. And God stops him with an angel, doesn't he? Folks, there are times when you're going to be in the midst of something and you're going to say, but God, this is what you promised me, and it looks like you're going to take it from me. Don't you think God's able to give you back tenfold from what you had? What do you think the book of Job is all about? Job is all about our expectations over God's provision. And when we come to the place of letting go, just like Job left go, God restores everything and even gives us an increase. And what is that unto us? You know, we look at that and we think, oh man, if I serve God, he's going to make me a millionaire. No, not on this side of the grave. On the other side of the grave, we're all going to be millionaires. But over there, money don't matter. I want you to think about it. Here on earth, Satan is here to kill, steal, and destroy. Can I get an amen, church? We all know it. So all the money that you make here, what happens to it when you die? Somebody else gets it. You can't take it with you. But God says, I've not come to kill, steal, or destroy. I've come to give you life and life abundantly. And I want you to think about something. Everybody thinks, yeah, but I didn't reach, you know, I didn't attain all this. I didn't have a whole lot of money. When you get to glory, do you realize what you're going to own? You're going to own the kingdom. That's everything. God is not a stingy God. When we live our lives that God is the one whom we seek after, when we give up our expectations, we will find the goodness of the Lord. But that's a tough thing to do, isn't it? That's a hard thing to do because I've worked hard on this. Proverbs 16 says to us, the mind of a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. I want you to think about that as we turn to this next scripture. Look in your Bibles to the book of John. We're going to go to John. We're going to be in chapter 3. We're going to be talking about a very religious man here. And I don't think many of us, when we read this, and I know I didn't when I first started reading it, I did not really understand just how important Nicodemus was or what kind of man Nicodemus was. But here's this man, Nicodemus. So let me set this up for just a little bit. Nicodemus, in his day, was the primary teacher of Hebrew, the religion of the Hebrews, the language of the Hebrews, the culture of the Hebrews, to those who were in the upper places. Okay? He's the primary teacher. In fact, he's called Israel's teacher here. So we need to understand this is Jesus talking to the one who was preeminent over all this religiosity that was controlling the times. And what does he have to say to Nicodemus? And what does Nicodemus have to understand here when it comes to expectations? Let us read from chapter 3, verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? And Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless he is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you that you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can this thing be? And Jesus answered and said to him, Are you the teacher of Israel, and do you not understand these things? Truly I say to you, we speak of what we know and testify of what we have seen, and you do not accept our testimony. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him shall have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe in has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. Blessed be the word of our Lord. Can I get an amen? When we look at what's going on here, Nicodemus expected to be in heaven because of what he did. He knew he was a religious teacher and he was holding to all the religious teachings, and it was because of what he did he was getting into heaven. And Jesus said, no, lest you're born of the water and born of the Spirit, you have no place in the kingdom. Here's this man who says, but I did this. And God says, and it's for naught, because your righteous deeds are as filthy rags. Can you understand how much of the Old Testament now, when we start thinking about what's going on, how much of the Old Testament, how much of the New Testament is truly about our expectations and our desires that we put before God, because that's idolatry. And God cannot enter into idolatry. There can only be one God. What is the first commandment that the Lord God gave all of us? I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. And that is summed up in love the Lord your God. When we understand, here's Nicodemus, one of the greatest teachers of the time, and he says, I can't do this thing. And Jesus says, no kidding, but let me show you the way. Let me tell you the truth so you can gain the life. And we all know that is Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? And when we accept that reality, we understand that we are not to have expectations, but we are to anticipate where we're going to meet God. Can you see why I used the song today? I want to see Jesus. Oh, I want to see Jesus. I plan my days, okay? I plan my days. We all know it. We all know it. Each and every one of us, we plan our days. But how many of us realize God ordains our steps? I have to make room for God in everything I do. I have a calendar, and if any of you have ever seen my calendar, you know it's full. But there are times when my calendar gets completely and totally uprooted. All my elders know this. If there's a death in the congregation, what happens to pastor's calendar? For the next 4 to 5 days, however long it takes for that funeral to take place, everything is uprooted because I have a job that has to be done, and it has to be done now. Everything else has to move. I don't care what it is. Heaven and earth will move. If God wants heaven and earth to move, it'll move. Can I get an amen, church? So we have to understand that when we put our stuff in before God, we're making our stuff and us God in our own lives. So our expectations must take into the reality that we are to anticipate God in everything that we do. I can look at several of you out here right now, and I know I'm talking to people out there on the internet land, that you have literally put your plans before God, and God has changed your plans. Can I get an amen? God has taken you on a route, but I want to do this. And he takes you on a route, and you're like, but I'm not even getting close to that. And you're going on this route, and it may take you around the backside and up through, but all of a sudden you find yourself where you really wanted to be. Can I get an amen? Am I the only one that this stuff happens to? Because I'll guarantee you right now, all those things that God brought you through to get you to where you really wanted to be, because God does say that he will give us the desires of our heart. Amen? If we are truly in Christ Jesus, he'll give us the desires of our heart. But he may end up taking us the long way around because we're not prepared. We're not equipped for what's going to be there. Why do you think Abram had to go through everything he went through? Abram had to go through everything that he went through in order to be the man of promise that the Messiah would come from. Because God was preparing a people through him, because he would be teaching the next generation, that would be teaching the next generation, that would be teaching the next generation. How many of us are teaching the next generation? You see, we've failed in much of that because our expectations have preceded God's. But when we come together in the church and we begin to understand God has a priority in your life, how many of you right now can honestly say that, you know, I wish things were a little different in my life. I'm going to be honest with you. Every one of us here would say that if we were honest. Because we do want something a little different. We want something a little better. We want something a little more comforting. We want something, you understand what I'm getting at? And the reality is, if that's truly what we want, then seek God and His righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you. But you see, we seek the things. We don't seek God, and we don't seek His righteousness. Isn't that right, folks? Isn't that what our world does? Look at what our world's longing after. You know, right now, there, and I just, you know, I think this is amazing. I don't know about you folks. How many genders are there out there? We know the answer to that. It's two. But right now, the world believes there's 507. 507. I can't even begin to wrap my head around it. 507 genders. I don't know if they're considering furries to be a gen. They must be. Something. I don't know. I can't understand it. I can't comprehend it. Because my mind's not there. My mind is lost in Christ Jesus. Can we get an amen on that one? Because I'm going to tell you right now, the truth will set you free. And you'll see things for the way they really are. And you'll see that the evil one, how many of you can see that the evil one is pulling these people to destruction, to death? But we need to be the teachers. Nicodemus was the teacher of Israel, and he did not understand these spiritual things. He says, I'm talking to you about earthly things. And if I'm talking to you about earthly things and you can't understand it, how can I even begin to talk to you about heavenly things? Here we are, we're stuck in this mortality, and we're having a problem with where we're going to eat tonight. What clothes am I going to wear? Am I going to be able to afford that sports car that I want because I'm going through, what do they call that when a man goes to, change of life, okay? I'm going through my change of life period. I need a Corvette. No, you need to cool it and realize you ain't all that. You're getting older. Deal with it and be happy for where you are, because everything that you've gone through has made you the man that you are now. Don't try to be something you're not. Ladies, you know, I think it's funny. I talk about this all the time. What color's your hair, really? And it's funny, because when I first started preaching, I used to laugh because I'd see all these people with, you know, and of course you all know I'm white by God's grace, and prematurely. I mean, I started turning white when I was 34, 35, and I said, Lord, give me white hair by the time I'm 45, and He did. And now I look in the mirror and I say, dang, you're old, but I'm not old. I don't care what the appearance says. What's the heart say? I'm a young man in the Lord. Do I have physical difficulties? Yes, you all know I do. Is my life 100% perfect? No, because I still got a long way to go and a short time to get there. But I'm going to work at it as much as I can, because I want to experience the goodness of the Lord. I want to be able to lay aside my expectations, not only for myself, but I want you to think about this. How many of us put expectations on other people? Isn't that one of the worst things that we can do? And then we don't express those expectations. We just expect people to live up to it. Well, if you don't express it, how are people ever going to know? Well, then how am I going to live up to God's expectations? He has expressed it. How many of you are reading? That becomes the question. Can I get an amen? But I don't like what it says. That's because you're a sinner saved by grace. So let's become holy and put down the sin. Can I get an amen? When we begin to walk in this manner, as Jesus walked, as the apostles walked, as those who have gone before us into the hall of faith began to walk, we will begin to see that these things are true. Turn in your Bibles to my last scripture. I'm going to Proverbs, Pete. Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. I'm going to be in verses 32 through 35. Because again, I want you to understand, this is what God wants from us. It's His expectations. It's His desire. And from those things, we find joy, we find hope, we find peace, we find the provision of God. From verse 32 to verse 35. It says, "Now therefore, O sons, listen to me. For blessed are they who keep my ways. Heed instruction and be wise. Do not neglect it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorposts. For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord." Now, I'm not reading that last scripture because I don't want to end on a down note. Because that end scripture, that verse 36, that talks about people that don't believe, that won't follow. But when we do, what does he say? We are going to find, we are going to obtain favor from the Lord. Now, he says that we need to do something. We need to set our expectations upon him. We need to anticipate what is coming from him. He says that we are to wait at his doorposts, that we are to stand by watching by his gates daily. When we are in anticipation of the Lord, when the things of the Lord come, we are then able to move and bring them into our being. And from there, we will find the favor of the Lord. And that's the Lord giving us the desires of our hearts. Because when we're looking to the Lord, we're looking for the good things of the Lord and not the good things of self, not the things of evil. Because all we want is evil. Because is that not what our world perpetuates into our lives? You got to have money. You got to have wealth. You got to have stature. All those things lead to death. Now, does that mean that a man of God cannot have those things? Absolutely not. In fact, it means quite the opposite. If you follow God and humble yourself, he may deliver you unto those things that you can be a blessing to others. Can I get an amen, church? Because that's how God grows the church. You see, we get it wrong. We put ourselves before God, and then we say to him, "Lord God, bless my mess." Okay, how many of you are looking at the shirt I'm wearing today? Because you all look at my shirts, right? What's it say? It says, "Jesus can turn a mess to a message." How many of us have been in that book? A test to a testimony. A trial to a triumph. And a victim to a victor. Today, I want you to understand, when we set our expectations first, this is the line we get. But when we set our expectations towards him, that we are anticipating him, this is what we get. Victory, triumph, testimony, and our life becomes a message unto others. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you. Brothers and sisters, the joy of the Lord is ours for the taking, but we have to seek him. Don't seek yourself. Don't seek the things that this world puts you after, but realize if you seek him, he'll give you these things because he knows you need them. And your mindset will be right to utilize them rather than being used by them. How many of you have seen people out there who've gained everything, but in gaining it, they've lost everything as well? That happens so much because we seek after these things before we seek God. And once that thing becomes our God, it's of the devil. And what does the devil do? Kill, steal, and destroy. But God says that when we come unto him, he will give us life and life abundantly. Pray with me, church. Father God, we come unto you this day for that abundant life. And Lord, may we understand this day that these things you're asking us to let go of are not to harm us, but to bring us a hope and a future. And they are plans of joy and prosperity. But Lord, it's not a prosperity gospel, because we will go through trial, but the prosperity we receive will be on the other side of the grave. Those things can be enjoyed here, and we thank you for that, Lord. But unto your life we give ourselves, that we may truly be changed. That as we let go of control and we let go of our expectations, that the desires of your heart would become the desires of ours. In Christ Jesus, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.